this morning. We are once again going to be in the book of Galatians chapter 5. And today, as we share together in God's Word, we're going to be challenged in producing spiritual fruit. In fact, I even titled it the same title as we used 2 weeks ago, The Productive Christian Life. And I want to remind you again, as we look at the fruit of the Spirit, we're talking about the working of God in and through us. I'm just going to go ahead and read our text, Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 26. Galatians 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you for your love and your mercy. We thank you for your word. And Lord, as we see that this fruit, being a productive Christian, is dependent and fully reliant upon you, and as we follow and surrender to you, allowing you to guide us and direct us, and that we act in faithfulness to you, you are bringing about growth within our lives that we are not able to do. But yet, Lord, you bring life. You bring about fruit. You bring about great things in and through us as your character and your being lives through us. Lord, we want to be beacons of light. We want Lindsay Lane to be a light in this community. And Lord, we know that it shines brightest when your people are following you and are faithful to you. Lord, help us to be a faithful people. Let us be an obedient people. Let us be a people that is productive for you and to bring honor and glory and building the kingdom of Christ. Lord, we thank you for using us. We thank you for empowering us to be effective for your work. And Lord, we just ask you guide us in your word and help us to apply it, giving us the strength that we need to apply your word and to bring glory to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the text as we read of the fruit of the Spirit. And this gives us the very basis of what we're looking at and how we come about it. First of all, the fruit of the Spirit means that more or less of where it comes from. It is from the Spirit. It is caused by a natural growth within the spirit of the individual. Within the individual, as he grows closer to the Lord, he or she, as they are striving to grow faithfully and trusting in him. So it's a natural thing. It's not something that we can counterfeit. It's not something that we can do on our own. When we look at it as the fruit, it's simply that it's coming from God and not from ourselves. It is from the Spirit. I want to remind you, as our phrase that I used last week, I'm going to use it each week to get it drilled in our heads. Developing spiritual fruit is not an accomplishment by sheer grit and determination of our own, but it is a lifelong process of surrendering to the Holy Spirit. Our surrender allows Him to transform us into the image of His Son. And that is the exact goal of what we strive for in our Christian lives. And so often people will say, well, Pastor, why do I need to keep coming to church and hearing the same messages, hearing the same verses? Because we hear them, but we are not fulfilling them. Amen? We are not allowing God to work in every area, in every space, in every thought, in every attitude, in every word. So we are in a process of growth all the time, unless we refuse the Lord, unless we have shut Him out, unless that we have grown to a place that we do not submit to the Spirit, and we've grown cold toward the Spirit, then that growth begins to slow. Why? Because the Spirit of God is not working in us. We are desiring to be more like Christ and less like our fleshly selves. Amen? And we do that not by saying, well, I decide I'm going to love someone more this week. Can I assure you it won't work? You can love them while things are going well, and maybe if they give you something, but then, by definition, we're loving them for what they can give us. We're loving them for what they mean to us. That's not the biblical love that we're talking about here today. Amen? as we look in the Scriptures, we are reminded to be more like Christ and less like our fleshly selves. And it is not our natural tendency, if you will, to be drawn closer to God, because that is the Spirit's working that draws us to be near God. Because in our flesh, when we come before God, we're like Isaiah. We fall on our faces and say, I'm a man of unclean lips. There's nothing good about me. But yet God says, I've got that. I can take care of that. I have a remedy for that. I have a solution for that. I have an eternal answer for that once and for all. You just show up. Amen? Oh, praise the Lord for that. Amen? We often think that, well, ministry is such a hard and difficult thing, in which it is to the flesh. But if we allow God to have His working, His will, His way, He prepares us for those times and situations that we need that growth. Moses didn't show up at the burning bush just all of a sudden say, oh, Moses, I want to use you. Oh, I don't know nothing about this. Oh, wait, I've been tending sheep for my father-in-law for 40 years in the same place that you're calling me to lead your people. Do we call that coincidence? Of course not. That was God's calling. Amen? And folks, you here today, sitting in the pews, it's no different as God draws you into Bible studies, our Sunday morning Sunday school class, our worship time on Sunday morning, and then our Bible study on Wednesday night. He's drawing you to draw from God's Word, to hear the Spirit speaking and conviction, to grow you, to strengthen you, to prepare you for what He's got next. But too often we close Him off and say, nope, I'm just going to give you this much. And then the growth is cut off. It's hindered. The depth of the roots do not go deep. And then when the storms of life come, it uproots us. Why? Because we haven't dug deep into the Lord Jesus Himself, our anchor. What is love? Our first point this morning, the first spiritual fruit that we're going to discuss this morning is love. While the English word love is very broad, in fact, it even today has been engulfed into an attitude of emotion. It's an attitude of feeling. In the Scriptures, it's actually just the opposite. It has very little to do with feeling. It has very little, if anything, to do with emotion at all. In fact, the word agape is the word that is defining love for us. It talks about affection. It talks about goodwill. It talks about benevolence. It talks about brotherly love, but mostly it is a selfless, self-sacrificing love. So it's not about what you give me or how you make me feel, but it's a choice that we make to love. Are you with me? That example that I give you of Hosea, as I jumped in the very middle, I thought I was at the end of the song, but man, I tell you, the music gets so exciting. And when we think about what Jesus has done, how can you contain? When you look at ourselves and say, I know there's nothing worthy. I know there's nothing that I have to offer. I know I'm probably more of a hindrance and a problem, but yet He loves me as if I was the only one. How can that be? Because He chose to do so. He chose to obey the Father. He chose to follow the Father's plan. He chose to be that one, that instrument of God's relentless, pursuing, eternal personal love. Are you with me? Now put yourself in that same place. Are we willing to be that instrument of God's relentless, pursuing, gracious, eternal love and be instruments to display what that love is? If we say yes today, there will not be an emotion preceding that. It will be a choice of obedience to follow God's Word. It will be a choice to obey His Word and allow Him to empower us to do so. He doesn't just call us to love because we feel like it. He calls us to love in spite of whether or not we feel like it. The choice to be sacrificial for others. The choice to set others above ourselves. The Scripture even goes so far as that we're to put those that are even our enemies above ourselves. But yet, can I be so bold as to say that sometimes it's harder to love those that are very close to us than, say, attempt to love an enemy? Are you with me, spouses? Are you with me, family members? Why is it that we can attempt to love people that we've never met before and find ways to extend love to them, but yet completely turn our hearts off and reject and be angry and agitated and cruel to those that are of our own home and family? Are you with me? The choice has to be made there. I hear so often they say, well, they of all people should know better. My friend, when I sin against God, I come to Him saying, God of all people, I should know better. But when I come repentant, He comes and receives me again, just like Peter. And I could even argue with Him and say, Lord, I don't deserve it. I already know that. Not telling me anything new. You didn't deserve it when I died on the cross, much less now, after I've taught you and you've read the Scriptures, and now that you know better and you did it anyway, but yet He still chooses to love. Why? Because that is who He is. He is the definition and the representation and the fulfillment of love. We're just trying to give Him a chance to live through us and exuberate who He is through us. Love in our relationships. We're going to hit three things here. I've only got 2 points, but each point, we got 3 points we're going to hit real quick. Love in our relationships. John 15:13. Greater love has no man than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Now see, He's telling us that we even have to make a choice that even for our friends, even those that we love, it is even a choice that we make to lay down our lives. And we are going to emulate what Jesus has done. We're going to emulate that self-sacrificing love. Folks, I think that's why people are so drawn to Lindsay Lane. We see that on a regular basis. We see that in the cards and the phone calls and the concern that we have for one another and the sacrificing for one another. Reaching out to one another, not just saying in a word, but in action. Folks, that is what has made Lindsay Lane the wonderful group and church body of believers that we have today, is your love for the Lord and your willingness to obey that. You can say amen to that. I'm bragging on you in the Lord. That's a good thing. In Luke chapter 6, verse 33, if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back, but love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the unthankful and evil, right? Folks, and I admit to you, the last few months has tested me as a person, and I'm not so sure that I'm as bright and shining as I should have been. It's hard not to grow bitter when things are going on around us, when so much struggle and pulling and pushing and accusing, and it gets so hard to separate ourselves from that. But folks, that is exactly what we're called to do. Don't live like those in the world. Don't respond like those in the world. But you make a choice here today how you're going to respond tomorrow, next week, the following week, months, and years. We make a decision today. Will we follow God's command? Will we be faithful to His command to love those, even our enemies, to set us above and beyond of what the world is already doing? That's some tough stuff, isn't it? That is the challenges that brings us to the cross and say, God, I can't do this. Then He says, then surrender and allow me to do so. Folks, we have to fall in love with the Lord. We are here to bring goodwill and goodness into the lives of, yes, even our enemies, as well as those that we enjoy being around. Amen? Do you ever find yourself that there are some that you click with so well, and then there's some that they just rub you the wrong way? Your commitment to the Word is just as important and should be as exuberant and as excitable with those that you don't like as much as those that you do like. Are you with me? Make it a point that is the first one you go to. Don't extend all of your energies and all of your love and all of your kindness to everybody else. Go to that one first. Don't be fake. We all can see through it, amen? We can all see through it. Maybe that's your prayer time. Maybe that's your prayer time each day. Is God, you know this is not going to go well for me. Lord, you know I'm fighting this. Lord, you know what they said to me last time. Lord, you know their attitude. They rolled their eyes again. I'll slap them next time. Give it to the Lord. He's big enough to handle it. But more than that, He's even big enough to change your heart and your attitude. He's big enough to change you to, so that you will see them in the way that He sees them, so that you're not just trying to look with your own eyes and be obedient, but you're looking with the eyes of Christ and seeing how He loves you and put up with you and say, oh yeah, maybe it's not so hard to put up with them. Amen? We can all stand on that ground. Amen? It brings us all back to the cross. It brings us all back to the cross. The spiritual fruit, as it is growing in love within us, should destroy the jealousies, the envy, the divisions, and the anger and the bitterness and resentment toward others. I want to ask you today, who is it in your life that you need to forgive and stop showing anger and resentment toward? Who is it in your life right now that you're not displaying the true definition of love? You know, as I look at the example of Jesus, He reminds us, He loved His enemies first. That was us, amen? True love does not wait for the other party to respond in a positive way or show worthiness to be loved. But true love will initiate and sacrifice first, even if nothing is going to come back in return. How are you demonstrating love in your relationships today? Now, love in our relationship to God. 1 John 5. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. You know, I come to the realization, this was really a turning point in my discipleship. I come to the realization is that I don't obey God. I live in sin because I don't love God. That was hard to admit. Can you admit that today? Because when we live in sin, we love the sin more than we love God, because therefore we are obeying the sin instead of obeying God. Are you with me? The Scripture says that, hey, if you're living in love, then you're going to love God. If you're living in love, if you love God, then you're going to love His children. If you're going to love His children, then you're going to be acting on that love. But also that love is tied with obedience as well. So the spiritual fruit of love is very important, isn't it? Maintaining the fellowship of believers, maintaining the attitude of discipleship and serving one another, love is important in maintaining faithful obedience to the Lord. Think of this. There are times that we have sin that is ruling in our lives, and we're trying to say, God, how can I change this? How can I get around this habit? How can I change this habit? When in reality, we need to come to the Lord and say, God, I'm locked in sin because I don't love You the way that I should, but I want to. Amen? Are you with me? Do you see how that the Word of God even changes our attitude and changes our prayer? Because often I can remember at times of dealing with a sin is like, okay, I've got to replace it. Okay, I'm going to distract myself. And we try all these psychological things that the world is so good at, but we never get to the heart of the problem, our sin. We drag ourselves away from God. The Spirit of God drags us back home. Amen? That's why He reminds us in Galatians 5:25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in it. What does that mean? You're hearing it. You hear the authority of God's Word on it. Now go do it. My third point on love is perfect love defined. 1 Corinthians 13. It's sad they only read these at weddings. I think it's good for all the time, isn't it? Love is patient. Love is kind. I'm reading the NIV because I really like how it words and explains each one. Love is patient. Love is kind. Does not envy, it does not boast, it's not proud, it does not dishonor others, it's not self-seeking, it's not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, it always trusts, it always hopes, and it always what? Perseveres. It just keeps going. It keeps going. With all of these characteristics, with all of these definitions, it's always going, it's always lifting others up. I think when we look back on the history of the Lord's church, and even in this church in particular, we will find many men and women who have been faithful to the Lord, sometimes even quietly. But if you had a mental picture, they were waist deep in mud, and they were lifting other believers up. even while they were complaining, lift us a little higher. We want to be in the sunlight. Turn this way. And all those little complaints, but yet they kept loving no matter what. And then with time, we realize they were the pillars that help us grow to where we are. Why? Because they allow God to produce spiritual fruit in and through their lives. We don't become pillars when we're self-serving and self-seeking. Amen? We actually become known as tearing the Lord's church down. So how is your love today? Does your love fit this definition? When you're dealing with others and you're dealing with those the Lord has convicted you today, those that you need to be loving today, we have to have His Spirit guiding and leading us. Amen? All right, number two, joy. Joy defined. This is a very rich word that describes gladness and delight. It comes from the mighty redemptive work of God in our lives. A joy is a natural reaction of God working in our lives. And so, folks, this is what I want to impress upon you today. I want you to know, I want you to own this. The joy of worship, the exuberance of church attendance, the excitement of coming to church every Sunday does not depend upon those that are up here. Praise team. It does not depend upon the one standing behind the pulpit, your pastor. The joy of every worship service, the excitement of the worship service, the spirit-filledness, I don't know if that's a word, but there it is, depends upon you. Thank you, Sister Kathy. We've got one that's on board. It depends upon you. It depends upon you. We need to prepare for worship, folks. Nowhere in Scripture did they ever go to the temple empty-handed. Why? Because they prepared for worship. Now, was it based upon what they brought, how God responded? No. It's how the heart was conditioned toward God of how He responded. Amen? Joy comes because it is an excitement of what God is doing, His carrying out of the redemptive plan on our lives. Joy is not merely an action or an emotion, but rather a characteristic of the believer. Joy is not dependent upon favorable circumstances, but is produced by the inner working of the Spirit in any and all circumstances, even during times of trial. Now, people really frown at me on that one. So you're saying when I'm hurting and I'm suffering loss and I'm scared to death, I'm supposed to have joy? That's where we get mixed up in the world's idea of joy. They think you got to be jumping up and down when in reality it is a calming, underlying, strengthening peace that we realize that no matter how bad this gets, I'm a child of God. I have an eternal home in heaven. My family, my loved ones, I've poured my heart out. They've accepted Jesus. They're doing what they need to do. If they're not, my life is a testimony, and it's going to speak really loud. Are you with me? Wherever we go, will not the God of Israel do that which is right? Remember that? The answer is yes, He will. And it begins to bring joy. It's like, hey, I realize this world can do nothing that will bring me out of the reach of my loving Savior. Amen? Because all that He has done is sufficient, all that He has done is for eternity, and all that He has done is complete. Luke chapter 15, I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Folks, if there's no other reason to have joy, is for us to have joy in the salvation of the Lord Jesus. I have to admit to you that I've accepted the Lord Jesus when I was a little kid, about 9 years old. And it's easy to take it for granted. It's easy to assume that it's always there. It's easy to minimize the cost of that salvation. But as we keep revisiting the cross, as we keep coming to the Lord's Supper, and we keep reading the Scriptures that He explains to us, as we just did this last Wednesday night, we went through the all gruesome details of all of that. Why? So that we could just stop and say, glory be to God that He saved me. Glory be to God that He loved me. And He went through all of that. Why? To secure salvation for any and all man who will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We rejoice in what we have been delivered from, that is hell. He's forgiven us of all of our sin. We rejoice, and then we are blessed with eternal life and a blessing of joy. Can you number the joy, the reasons that you have to be joyful today, in spite of the situations or circumstances? So here we are. We're going to go back to love one more time. If love is not there, then my friend, joy may not be there as well. Amen? The obedience is gone. The closeness is gone. The Spirit's not working. So if you do not have the joy, what is it that's robbing you of that joy today? Is it unresolved anger or bitterness? Is it sin, rebellion that continues to stay there and we haven't resolved that? We haven't responded to God's conviction? Have you left the Spirit's disciplines, Bible study, prayer, worship, giving, serving, and allowed worldly things to take place? Lastly, or actually my second one, joy of the spiritual maturity. We can find joy as we mature in Christ. John 15:10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. So now we're not just talking about enough joy to get through this Sunday. We're not talking about just enough joy to get through the next week. We're talking about joy to its fullest, to its abundance, to overflowing. Love and joy will go hand in hand. Here's something that Augustine had given as a quote. Let no one deceive himself by saying that he loves Christ when he does not obey Christ. We love Christ exactly in the proportion in which we keep his commandments. Those are challenging words, isn't it? Then lastly, the joy of God's presence. Psalm 16, verse 11, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. You know, this parallels with exactly the reason that we rejoice in heaven. Amen? Yes, the beautiful golden streets are going to be an amazing thing to see. The new city, Jerusalem, made of all these precious gems and Jesus being in the city and the bride, meaning the church, is going to be dwelling in that city. He's going to give off a life all throughout heaven. It's going to be an amazing, untold beauty. Yes, that's going to be great to see. We're going to be in a place that there's no sin, no suffering, no pain, no death. All of these things, yes, that's going to be exciting. But you know what really brings joy to heaven? Is that we are in the presence of God. Because so often people talk about all the things that are in heaven. Even our loved ones or those that are already gone and those that are already there that we're waiting for. Yes, that will be joyful, but that will not be the source of joy. The very presence of God. You could take all of those things away. You could take the golden streets. You could take the new city, Jerusalem. You take all these things away. But yet there's still joy in the presence of God. But if you remove Jesus or you remove God from that, the joy is gone. Heaven is gone. Eternal life is gone. Everything is gone. The source of our joy is not circumstances, not what we're looking forward to, but it's the presence of God. And folks, let me tell you, we're missing that joy in our worship as well. Because we're allowing other things to get in the way, and we're convinced that we need this, we need that. We're convinced that we need to sell the gospel message. We need to make it something more exciting, when in reality, God is wanting us to have all of us to fall in love with Him instead of us provoking or coming up with another sales plan or marketing plan of how to present the gospel. Jesus just needs us to fall in love with Him, have control of all of our lives, begin to show love and joy in a way that is above and beyond what the world is able and capable of doing. We don't need to market anything. We just need to follow in obedience and let God have His way. Allow His presence to take over. Allow His presence to take precedence over all other things. Let it be the first priority of our day and every day. The difference will be seen. The joy will be a reality. Love will actually be love and not self-serving attitudes. Romans 15:13, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. When we look at all of these evidences of Scripture, the reality that we're allowing God to work in and through us, the Holy Spirit, to begin to develop spiritual fruit in us. There's no greater call for faithful church attendance than this today. For God's people to come together and to learn spiritually, to grow spiritually productive together. Yes, it may be a lot of things that we've heard before, but the reality is are we carrying these things out? Are we giving the love and the support to one another that we need to just make it one more day in faithfulness? The difference is that we're allowing the Spirit to work, but we're encouraging the Spirit to work in the lives of others by setting the example. What are our priorities in witnessing? Folks, we won't witness to people until we love people. Are you with me? We don't witness because we don't love them. We don't love them because we're not falling in love with the Lord Jesus. You can't get close to the cross and not realize what the purpose of the cross is. It's not just us, but it's all of those around us. Amen? We're going to sing. Would you stand with me? We're going to have a song of invitation. I'm asking you to respond to the conviction the Lord has on your heart today.